privacy settings with Will Seabag Montefiore on FUBAR Radio.
Are you ready, Natasha Devon?
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to Privacy Settings, the show where I go through your favourite people's phones to expose their grubby little secrets. With me today is writer, campaigner, broadcaster and mentor on the 2012 hit show Gox Teens, The Naked Truth. It's Natasha Devon.
Hello.
You remember Gox Teens, The Naked Truth?
I do. I remember it well.
What was it?
There was no nudity. That title is...
That's probably important to say, actually.
Yeah, the title is misleading. Yeah. It was just where we did some lovely things to give teenagers confidence. It's very wholesome.
Okay, that's good, because we can delete all the follow-up questions, actually. That's fine. Yeah, that's not... Because you do... I don't know. It's going to sound weird as a follow-up, but you do a lot of helping teens.
That is my main job. Yeah. I also have been in another TV show that involved a lot of nudity called Naked Beach.
And that was naked.
I wasn't naked at any point,
right.
But I was surrounded by naked people pretty much the entire time, yeah.
Did you enjoy that?
It was an experience.
Well, that's such a professional broadcaster answer. It's not untrue.
Yeah.
It was an experience.
There's no way you can prove that's not true.
Yeah. By God, I'm going to try. I'm going to make you feel naked, but that feels predatory. I don't know why I said that. But I think it's quite exposing to look at someone else's phone.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
I think I would prefer to get naked right now, actually, in many ways.
I don't want to put any pressure on, but that would be great for the clips. Because often we have comedians on, but when we get like proper, intelligent, incredible journalists and broadcasters on, and then I'm just like, get naked, please. That's not a good look, really.
It is a joy to be in this kind of irreverent environment where I don't have to think about Donald fucking Trump for the next 45 minutes.
But that's all we're going to talk about. Oh, no, she's so sad. So sad. Let's not think about Donald Trump. Let's think about your phone. Can I have your phone, please, Tash?
Yeah,
my phone. How do you feel about this?
Really just not good.
Really not good?
Yeah. I've got slightly sweaty hands, actually.
Because of this or just generally?
Because of this.
Yeah. Bit of a dirty screen.
Yeah.
You didn't give it a wash.
No, sorry. That's okay. In preparation for this.
Can I unlock it? I mean, I can't.
I can unlock it.
Can you?
Yeah.
She's smiling, but her eyes really aren't. The getting naked is still on the cards. Okay, we've got a home screen. Ooh, Natasha Devon. 9,984 unread emails.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Why?
I didn't read them. You know what the thing is, right? If you send me an email, you will either get a response immediately or never. There is no in between.
There's no in between.
Mm.
Okay, and who's... Is this full of spam? Are these people who need to get in touch with you and you just...
Probably a combination of both.
This is Gokwan being like, we're doing another season.
Yeah, doing the follow-up 13 years later.
Naked 20-somethings.
Oh, God.
Bad math, isn't it? Naked 30-somethings. Not a load of apps on the old phone. Like, your home screen is quite sparse.
I don't like a busy home screen, though. I don't like it on my PC either. It makes me stressed immediately. I like to look at something that's quite clean and simple.
Mm. So your desktop isn't covered in like...
No, and people who have that kind of desktop, I'm like, how do you function?
Yeah.
How do you function?
Not well.
Mm.
Yeah.
Suspected as much.
Ouch. Bloom and Wild, a flower app.
Yeah.
You like flowers?
I like sending flowers.
Aw.
Yeah.
Who to?
Do you know what? I got that in the pandemic because I have a lot of friends who live by themselves.
Mm.
And it struck me that I should be taking extra care of them during that time and just showing that they are loved.
Yeah.
So I use that app a lot in the year 2020.
Can I go into that app?
No.
Okay, fair enough. Don't want to see who you've been sending flowers to. Nigel Farage and Nick Ferrari. I knew it! This goes straight to the top!
Julia Hartley Brewer.
Maybe this is the problem with the right in this country. Just no one's ever sent them some flowers.
Do you know what? I don't think you're 100 miles away from the truth there. Just they haven't been loved in the right way.
Yeah, so they're being mean to all the people. They're being mean and they just want some flowers. Nigel Farage got given some flowers and then was like, I'm sorry, I was wrong.
Imagine if that was all it took.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be the person to send him flowers. If you could guarantee me that would be his response.
What flowers would you send to Nigel Farage?
Mm, well, red, white, and blue roses. Maybe.
He'd love that, wouldn't he? Yeah. We should do it. We shouldn't do it. I don't think it would change anything. Oh, lovely stuff. And at the bottom, right, Tash, you've got phone, messages, Safari.
Yeah.
That's the main three uses at the bottom. That's all you want?
Yeah, I'm a geriatric millennial, so I do actually use my phone as a phone.
Do you phone people without like texting in advance?
No. Oh, I'm not okay. A boomer.
I'm not crazy. So you're using your phone to actually phone people. That's good stuff. And send flowers.
Those are the two main uses, I would say. And to edit clips of me on LBC telling off right-wing people.
Yeah, yeah. So you are sort of straddling the lanes of like geriatric millennial, but also like Gen X? No, Gen Z. Gen Alpha. Young people. Because you're making clips.
Yeah, not well.
Not well.
No, I still don't understand how you put in images of other things. You know, when you watch people on Instagram and they talk and they're talking about an article and then that article will zoom into focus. I don't know how you do that.
I've got two syllables for you. CapCut.
Okay.
That's the thing people use. I tend to use Premiere Pro because I like to make my life difficult and I like to edit away from the phone to then put it back on the phone. And it's a fucking nightmare. But you can do that on CapCut. Sometimes it's just a helpful show. It's just knowledgeable. You know?
That was a good tip. Thank you.
Can we look at your screen time?
You can, but I don't think I have it switched on.
Oh, do you not? Do you know?
Do you know what I recently discovered as well? Someone told me that if you are listening to a podcast, that counts towards your screen time. And also, I walk around. Whenever I can, I listen to James O'Brien on LBC.
Yeah.
He's the kind of Yoda to my Skywalker. And that's a 3-hour long show.
Yeah.
So it's adding 3 hours of screen time, but I'm just walking around with my headphones on listening to it.
The screen is off.
Screen time suggests scrolling, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But that's not necessarily what that figure represents.
We need the producer to check this, because if this is the case, the whole premise of this show crumbles and falls apart. Now, the last guest we had on, Hugh did accidentally Google porn, and I really hope that doesn't happen again. Okay, so it doesn't count towards your screen time, but is that like it doesn't count intellectually?
I don't, because the reason I switched it off is because when I clicked on it to see what I'd been spending the most screen time on, it said my podcasts and LBC. And I went, that's not screen time.
No.
That's ear time.
Maybe it there is no ear time. They should do ear time, actually. That would be a great addition to the phone. How much time you've spent listening to stuff. I'd like it. Or maybe it thinks because you spend time on the screen on LBC, like on screen, maybe it's counting all your shows
as screen time. As though I'm watching them.
Yeah, yeah, but you're doing them.
But I'm not. I'm multitasking. I'm doing other stuff.
Yeah. Right, I'm going to look at your notes app now, Tash. We've got some TV ideas here, which is quite exciting. House of Devon, brilliant pissed TV ideas.
Right. So every time me and my partner go for dinner.
Yep.
We share a bottle of wine and we get a bit silly and we come up with a TV idea.
I love it.
This is a tradition that we've been doing for a couple of years now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I add them to the notes on my phone. Yeah, what you're looking at are the first few that we came up with.
So is it number one? Is that the first one you ever came up with? Do you remember when this was?
Yeah, I think it was... I think it was my birthday and we were at the Ivy Cafe. And you will notice that there's a theme of they're very much, apart from one of them, they're very much themed around puns involving people's names.
Yeah.
And then we sort of work backwards, which famously the best ideas, you do work backwards from a pun.
My whole career's worked backwards from a pun, yeah. So this number one is Nicolas Caged.
Yeah.
A load of people called Nicolas. Put in a cage and filmed.
Right.
Right. My favorite thing about this is your examples of Nicholas's. The first one is Santa.
Yeah.
Saint Nicholas, I suppose.
Yeah.
That's
his name.
So you got Santa, Nicholas Nickleby.
Yeah.
And then you've shortened Nicholas Holt to Nick Holt.
Yeah.
And then Nick Ferrari.
Yeah.
How do you think those people are going to get along?
It's a good question. I can't see Nick Holt and Nick Ferrari immediately getting on. I mean, they may bond by the end of the experience.
Yeah.
I think Santa's going to fuck shit up in that particular environment.
Yeah.
Because he's there just wanting to bring joy and gifts yeah. to the world. And there's some significant barriers there with the other Nicholases. The yeah. other Nikolai.
Yeah, no, Nikolai. Yeah, yeah. Okay. That's why Nikolai Tesla was actually two Nicholases. Yeah. I think Nick Ferrari would like that Santa said ho, 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 but that's about it. That's all he'd like about him. He wouldn't like, he'd like the naughty and nice list, but he wouldn't agree as to who was on what.
Mm, I think you're right.
Any other Nicholases we could put in there? Nicholas Lyndhurst?
Yeah. That's a good one.
God,
It's hard to think of Nicholases under pressure, isn't
it? There's a dearth of Nicholases.
Oh, okay. We're Googling Nicholases now.
Famous. Welcome. This is... You don't get this on LBC, do you?
No.
Funnily that Santa hasn't come up. Nicholas Cage is the first... Nick Jonas!
Yes!
One of the Jonas brothers.
Yeah. He can play guitar.
Nick Offerman.
Nick Holt.
Nicholas Holt, yeah.
Yeah, I've spelled his name wrong in the app. I've just
Nicholas the Second of Russia.
Yes. Dead people can be in it.
Just the corpse or the reanimated?
I think the ghost of...
Christmas past. Okay. I like it as a concept. How big do you imagine the cage would be?
Well, you can see at the end there we're not sure whether it's one Nicholas per cage.
Oh.
Or whether it's lots of Nicholases in one cage.
Mm.
We weren't sure what would make for the best TV.
Interesting. I think one cage.
One cage with lots of Nicholases.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I think otherwise it's just seems like a prison. Of yeah. several different Nicks.
Nick's been nicked.
Yeah, Nick's been nicked. Oh, yeah.
That's an even better idea.
Write it down. To the list. Or you could have a show called Nick Cage, where he just steals cages. He just goes into different shops and steals cages.
That and anyone can do that. You don't even have to be called Nick to nick a cage.
Wow. The second time we've talked about nudity on the show. One tit out Nando's.
Yeah.
You don't Google this one, you. Can you read the synopsis of this one out, please,
okay.
Tash?
So this would be very enjoyable for me. I am sent around the world to review the world's best restaurants. And if I consider the meal I'm eating to be better than Nando's, I lob a tit out.
Guest starring Daisy May Cooper and Sophie Williams.
We thought that they'd be up for it. It's the sort of thing they do, right?
So funny that they're at the end of it. I get the impression from this you like Nando's.
This whole thing came about because we were eating somewhere very bougie.
Yeah.
And I said, this still isn't as nice as a Nando's. I said, I don't think I've ever eaten anything. And I used to review restaurants, right?
But did
you?
Back
in the day, yeah. I used to have a side hustle being a restaurant reviewer.
Whoa.
And I genuinely don't think I've ever eaten anything that is as nice as a Nando's.
What's your Nando's order?
Half chicken, extra spicy, peri chips and coleslaw.
That was reeled off. So that's someone who goes to Nando's regularly. Because you're famously, you told me just before we come on, you're a vegetarian.
Who eats chicken?
Who eats chicken?
Yep.
Why do you eat chicken, Tash?
Because I don't have empathy with chickens.
Why not? You just can't relate.
I think it's because their eyes are in the side of their face.
Mm. I mean, I think cows have eyes sort of in the side of their face because they're prey as well.
If I was hungry, I could kill a chicken.
Yeah.
I don't think however hungry I was, I could find it in my heart to kill a cow. I mean, I don't want to put that to the test because what would hunger do to you?
Sorry, but this is a show. Natasha Devon versus animals.
Yeah. How hungry would I need to
be? Yeah, yeah. So nothing's ever come close to Hernando's?
No, and I know that people think that it's live, laugh, love, it's a cliche, but some things are a cliche for a reason.
Yeah.
And all these people who think they're too cool for Nando's, you're not too cool for Nando's. Nando's is fucking delicious and your life would be better if you just admit that.
Do you know what? I'm an actual vegetarian. Mm. I wouldn't even kill a chicken despite the fact I have no empathy for them. I just fucking hate plants, mate. Got any more TV shows down? Let's scroll down for another TV show. Christopher Walken.
Yep.
What's this one, Tash?
I think this is the best one.
Oh, yeah?
Out of all of them. So every episode, somebody called Christopher.
Fuck hell. The same thing. It's so funny as well. The first one is Nicolas Cage. The second one is just like, well, I'll eat and get my tit out.
And then the next one is another pun on a name.
Yep.
Okay. Yep.
Someone called Christopher gets into a place where you would normally need an appointment, but he doesn't have an appointment. So he's walking.
He just sees if he can get in.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I suppose so. Have you ever pitched a TV show to like a TV company?
No, is it obvious?
No, it's not. I mean, these ideas are so good. I wouldn't be surprised if they just were made without your involvement.
Yeah, I mean, these are out in the public sphere now.
I know, you've sent the ideas out, they're going to get made. What about a show called Natasha Cornwall, where you go to Devon?
I tell you what, I've been to Cornwall.
Have you?
Yeah, Natasha Devon is not a good name to have in Cornwall. That you can see, they try and cover it up, but...
They don't like it.
Yeah, when you book into the hotel, they give you a look.
Here, we don't like your type around here.
No.
What do you mean? People call Devon. Oh, right. Okay. There's going to be something else. We got one more TV show. Shia LaBeouf.
Now, this is bad. I will admit, we drunk quite a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
When we came up with this one.
I mean, yeah.
It's Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is a to-be-confirmed celebrity sampling various vegan foods or being chased by cows in a field or possibly a combination of the two. This is not well thought out.
No, no. I mean, any pitch that starts with TBC, it's not been thought out. That'd be tough for you being chased by a cow in a field because you empathize with the cow.
Yeah.
You'd be like, oh,
shit. I have
shit.
Been chased by a cow in a field once.
Have you?
Yeah, but I didn't know I was because I
they were just really good at tailing you.
No. My uncle lives in the Cotswolds and we decided to go for a really long walk mm-hmm. and then have sort of like early dinner, late lunch type, like a 4 o'clock type dealio.
Yeah, yeah.
So we did that. We went to the pub, had a lovely lunch. I'd been wearing my prescription sunglasses. And then by the time we were walking back, it was dark. So I had a choice between not really being able to see and it being really, really dark and not being able to see.
Wow.
These were my choices.
Yes, bad option.
So we were walking back across a field and all of a sudden my uncle said to me, okay, don't panic, but walk really quickly towards that gate and don't look behind you. And apparently I was being chased by two cows, but I had no idea.
Whoa. Mm. Whoa. That's scary.
I mean, it would have been scary if I'd known it was happening.
Yeah, that's true. It's because they know that you won't kill them. They're like, this is an easy target.
That's true. Yeah. They must sense it.
Yeah. Because I always thought, because I'm a vegetarian, a proper one, and I always thought the animals would be like, oh, he's on our team. But no, they just see you as weak. They come after you.
That doesn't seem fair.
Yeah, they sense the empathy. It's scary. Mm. It's tough being a vegetarian.
I believe you. I sort of know.
Yeah,
apart from the whole chicken thing.
Yeah, yeah. That's so funny that you just like, fuck chickens. That's really funny. They are weird looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't hate chickens or anything.
No. You just love Nando's.
I just love Nando's. That's what it is.
That's
if there was no Nando's, I probably would be vegetarian.
Thanks, Tash. We need to go to a break now so we can go and pitch some of these show ideas. Stay tuned.
Privacy Settings with Will Seabag Montefiore on FUBAR Radio. Privacy Settings on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to Privacy Settings. Oh, I've said privacy. Oh, I don't know which it is. Would you say privacy or privacy?
I'd say privacy, I think.
Okay, great. Welcome back to Privacy Settings on FUBAR Radio, the only podcast that you can ask to take your picture for you, and it'll be like, oh, don't worry, I took loads. That's nice, isn't it? Yeah? Mm-hmm. Has anyone recently asked you to take their picture?
Happens to me all the time because I am primarily a radio broadcaster and I hang out with people who people know what they look like and they're famous.
Yeah.
And so they just think I'm some like hanger on a random person.
Yeah, well, you've got your tit out on a Nando's thing.
I've got
in your
my
hand,
tit
so.
Out. I'm eating Nando's.
Yeah.
They think, let's ask her to take a photo with Marina Perkis and Gemma Forte.
Mm.
So I am designated photo person and I always take, not loads, but five.
Five. Yeah. Are you doing all portrait? You're going landscape?
I'd mix it up.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think it's a really it's really difficult when you give your phone to someone and they just one. I think it's always boys who just take one.
I think it's so rude.
It's rude, yeah. I'm going to keep looking through your notes app. I want to see more of these TV ideas, but is that all of them?
No, there's more.
There's more. I think this whole thing could just be a TV pitch, basically.
I just... Yeah, what you've seen are the first ones. I mean, they do get progressively worse.
I'm just trying to think of more people, because you work with James O'Brien. You could have a show where everyone at the dinner party is told that James is coming, famous James is coming,
yeah.
But then a famous Brian turns up at the last minute. And you go, James, oh Brian.
It's great.
It's fun. This is fun. I want a bottle of wine in Nando's. Okay. Christopher Big Inns. A load of people called Christopher have 24 hours to find the biggest inn they can. It starts bad and it gets worse. It's so funny that it's always a load of people called X. So, where would you start in the search for big inns?
Scotland?
Yeah.
Seems like the sort of place that would have big inns.
When Harry met Sally, Prince Harry has to find as many people called Sally and meet them within 24 hours, not using the internet, brackets, because that's cheating.
Yep.
Could he use, like, the wealth and resources of the royal family? Because they'd probably be able to find him really easily.
That's true. I think they've probably got a lot of quite detailed information about all of us. Yeah. So.
When Harry met... That's fun, because you still stayed with the name thing, but now you've gone on to films.
Yes.
Before it's, you know, Shia LaBeouf, Christopher Big Inns, and now it's just When Harry Met Sally.
Yeah, I think we'd run out of puns by that point.
We're getting to the bottom of the bottle of wine. This just says, I'm terribly sorry, I assumed you were dead.
Okay, that arises from a very specific conversation I had with my partner.
Great.
Where I said, what do you think your life will be like when you're old?
Mm-hmm.
And he starts describing all of these things, quite specific things.
Yeah.
And I went, am I involved in this at all? Because he's not mentioned me at any point. And I went, am I in the picture at all? And he went, I'm terribly sorry, I assumed you were dead. I don't know why. He thought it was inherent in the question. He thought, when I asked him, what do you think your life will be like when you're old? He thought I was saying, if I die. So we thought...
That's a crazy thing to think.
I know. So now, if I accidentally tread on his foot or I'm in his way in the kitchen, I'll say, I'm terribly sorry, I assumed you were dead.
That's amazing.
Just the thing that we say now. And we just thought it was so funny that we thought maybe there's a TV idea there.
Okay. How?
I don't know. We didn't think it through.
Do you find people all called Christopher? No. Do you find people who think celebrities are dead and then you bring the celebrity in?
Yes.
Is that the way
of doing
it?
And they say, I'm terribly sorry. I assumed you were dead. I assumed you were dead. What have you been up to?
Yeah.
Since I thought you died.
Yeah. Have you seen that video of Ian Wright when he meets his old primary school teacher? It's a really beautiful video of the ex-Arsenal player, Ian Wright. He's in a stadium, and then his old primary school teacher gave him a load of confidence and stuff, comes in, and Ian Wright's like, I thought he was dead. Because someone told him he was dead. And it's like a really moving video, but that made me think of that. Did you get Ian Wright on? All the people Ian Wright assumes, the show's called Ian Wrong. And it's all the people Ian Wright thinks
are dead. Yes.
But they're not.
This is good.
That's good. Okay, we've got a mini game. This is the first ever mini game on the show. Not about phones, but fine. Real or fake reality shows. I Want to Marry Harry. A group of American women complete bachelor-style tasks to marry Prince Harry, but unbeknownst to them, he's just a Prince Harry impersonator. Real or fake?
Oh, real.
Real. 1 out of 1. Can you believe 12 celebrities spend 2 weeks becoming apiarists, and who will be the best beekeeper?
I mean, I'd watch it, but fake.
Oh, 2 out of 2. God, this is journalism right here, man. Cheaters, a reality TV show where private investigators help people confront their cheating partners on camera.
Real.
3 for 3. Natasha Devon, everybody. Be cute or get pie.
It's already brilliant.
A number of women sleeping on the ground must wake up in the cutest way possible. If the judges deem them not cute enough, they get smacked in the face with a pie.
But it has to be fake.
It's real.
No way.
She's been stumped. How did you two meet? Two unsuspecting strangers are tricked into an orchestrated meet cute punk style.
Fake?
Yeah, fake and also quite boring.
Yeah.
Why did you make that up? The pie one was great.
The pie one was so good.
But that was real. That's why it was good. Egg and Typhoon. Contestants compete in an egg and spoon race through an increasingly dangerous rainstorm.
Possibly real but Japanese.
No, it's fake. Obviously, how would they make that show? They have to get eggs and wait for a typhoon. That's crazy. Also, this is I thought your and your partner's pitches were like silly and a bit dumb. Mm. This is it's hard.
Yeah,
because egg and typhoon. Sorry, you. That's garbage. What is that, a pun on egg and spoon? MILF Manor. Eight pairs of mothers and sons travel to a villa in Mexico to look for love. Upon arrival, the contestants are told that they're there to romantically pursue each other.
Ooh, real?
Yep. The Katie Price is Right. Katie Price hosts a talent show to find out who the next best person called Katie is.
That's like something I would come up with. Yeah. I think it's fake.
It's fake. And you know what? You've outdone yourself. Egg and Typhoon is garbage. It's terrible. And you deserve nothing but that. The Katie Price is Right. Oh. Okay, the final one. The Adventures of Hench Sue.
Yeah.
Who's that?
No idea.
It's just a muscular woman called Sue. There's not that many ideas. I mean, they're all good, so it's hard to come up with them.
Thanks.
Do you use your notes app for anything else?
Yeah. I do. I use it. My notes are insane. I mean, whenever I encounter a quote, whether I'm reading a book or I'm at a conference or I'm listening to a podcast where I think, oh, that's, I should remember that.
Yeah.
That goes in the old notes app.
Yeah, cool.
So this one.
Do you want to read it or shall I?
You do it.
Okay. How should I do it?
It's quite serious.
Okay. A more concerning prospect is that the Labour Party, now in power, might decide to address the Conservatives and Reform by borrowing their ideas. This would be a victory for the far right, widening the Overton window, the scope of acceptable ideas, which I heard so much about whilst undercover.
Mm. I think about this all the time because Harry Shookman, he's a Jewish guy that went undercover in the far right and infiltrated all these far right gangs, essentially, and groups. And every time the Labour Party do something which is so clearly courting Reform voters, I think about how that's what the far right want.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really bleak that that's the, rather than move to the left and create progressive policies and create an answer to it, it's just going further towards it.
Well, particularly since Caerphilly and Gorton and Denton show that, yes, Reform are popular, but they're more unpopular than they are popular. There are more people who want to reject Reform than there are who want to embrace it.
Yeah.
And they are just hemorrhaging support to mainly the Greens, but also the Lib Dems a little bit as well. And I just, it makes me angry because I've never had anything I want in politics ever. As a left-wing person, nothing's ever happened I've gone, oh, great.
Neither have I. The first time I voted was when the Lib Dem-Tory coalition happened. I remember being like, oh, yeah, I'm going to vote for the Lib Dems. This feels exciting and hopeful.
Mm.
And that's the last time I felt hopeful.
No, yeah, it's bleak.
Yeah. Well, you can buy Harry Shookman's book, Year of the Rat, Undercover in the British Far Right. Important and Courageous by James. Oh, Brian. Sorry, it was Brian. Brian wrote that quote. Great book. Great quote.
Yeah, great quote.
Whenever you talk about the Overton window, do you imagine a window being opened?
No.
I always do because I'm quite stupid. this is another quote. How should I read this one?
Again, they're all quite serious, these quotes. Sorry.
Okay. When a mind goes awry, it does so in many ways, made available by the culture that formed it and the ones that surround it. Dr. Gavin Francis.
Yes. Dr. Gavin Francis wrote a book called something that I've forgotten. Mm. It's called The Unfragile Mind. That's it.
Is it about Gavins who know where France is?
Know where France is.
Yeah.
That reminds me of the thing with, what's it?
Is this a knowledge is power?
Knowledge is power, Francis Bacon.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That's what it reminds me of.
Yeah, that's the, do you want to explain that for the listener?
Knowledge is power. France is bacon.
Yeah, there's someone.
Does it need explanation?
Yeah. Well, so my producer is frowning. There's someone who thought that because people would say to them, "Knowledge is power." Francis Bacon, as in Francis Bacon, said that. But they thought people were always saying, "Knowledge is power." France is bacon, which is an amazing thing to miss here. Or also to be like, "Wow, I guess yeah, I guess this France is bacon."
Okay. Yeah, I guess it is.
Knowledge is power. France is kind of salty, crispy, smoky.
Yeah.
Bit sexy.
Smells good.
Smells good, yeah. Kill a pig?
What, right now?
Would you?
No, of course not.
Oh, just checking.
I especially wouldn't kill a pig because pigs, I think, are basically human beings.
Interesting. Say more about that, please.
Have you ever looked a pig in the face?
No, it's not the first time I've been asked that. Yeah, yeah. I've looked many pigs in the face.
It sometimes I think you really look like a lot of people I could name but won't.
Me?
No.
Oh, the pig.
No, the pig. There's a lot of porcine people out there, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think there's some kind of link between us and pigs.
Yeah. Isn't there a rat, pig, horse? Isn't that a thing? The faces.
Oh, I thought it was pig or bird.
I think it was just man or woman, actually.
The two genders. Ladies and gentlemen.
Pig and bird. I believe in a really weird binary. Search pig. Sometimes I just make you do this. Pig, horse, bird, face categories. Pig, horse, rat, I thought it was. The 10 animal face types.
Okay. There's 10.
Puppy, cat, fox, deer, rabbit, snake, turtle, hamster, fish, and bird. Yeah, okay.
I feel it would be unfortunate to be a turtle.
Yeah.
Although Michael Douglas.
Is that a show about people called Michael who can't create holes in the ground?
Yeah, he just has to dig less.
Depending on how much he digs.
It's people called Michael who are addicted to digging. They need to conquer their digging addiction.
Anyway, we're on some clever quote about some culture or some shit, weren't we? All right, when a mind goes awry. Well, I guess my mind went awry there.
Yeah.
I started Googling all that shit. What does that mean, Natasha Devon? What does it mean?
I love it because what it means is, like, we always think of mental illness as being this, like, incredibly individualized thing.
Mm.
And an insanity as being outside the constraints of society. But what Gavin Francis is saying in his book, which is about how different cultures understand mental health, is that actually you will follow a prescribed path. You will go mad in the way that society allows you to, is what he's saying there.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
For a man whose surname is Bacon.
Francis.
Dr. Gavin Francis Bacon. Amazing. Another quote. Social media is interesting enough to entertain.
I've just seen that I've put makes you think. Just to remind myself makes you think.
Yeah, that is funny. The other two, you haven't put that on.
No.
Social media is interesting enough to entertain, but not meaning enough to fulfill. Professor Andreas Elpidoro.
Yes.
Elpidoro?
Elpidoro, I'm going to say.
Elpidoro. Speaking to the Times about why young people today are more likely to be bored than their forebears.
Makes you think. Sort of patronising myself in my notes.
You could have a show called Young People Meeting Their Forebears. It's just, just forebears.
Paddington.
Okay.
Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
Other bears.
You keep going.
What are the three bears?
That's too many.
That's five bears.
You can have two. You can have two of the five of the three bears.
Of the three bears.
Who are the three bears? Goldilocks.
Yeah.
Which two are you taking?
I think Mummy and Baby.
Yeah. God. Thanks, Tash, but we need to go to a break now. Someone has to keep Papa Bear company. Stay tuned.
Privacy Settings with Will Seabag Montefiore on FUBAR Radio. Privacy Settings on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to Privacy Settings, the show which Tony Blair described as the digital ID of podcasts, which is the highest praise he'll give someone who hasn't committed a war crime. Tasha, you got any weapons of mass destruction?
Not that I know of.
Invade! I'm going to keep looking through a phone in many ways, a weapon of mass destruction.
True.
Nah, is it? It's kind of terrible.
Depends how you use it.
Yeah. How do you find the old use of social media and stuff?
Myself.
Yeah, and for the world at large.
For the world at large.
Yeah.
Well, what really concerns me is AI.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying that social media isn't a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm probably, like most people, like most middle-aged women, I'm a little bit addicted to Instagram.
Yeah.
But I don't see that as much of a problem as ChatGPT, which I do not use,
mm-hmm.
but which can get fucked. And other AI chatbots and just AI generally and what it means for humanity. Like, I was concerned about social media for many, many years, and now...
There's a new enemy. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably fine. I don't know. I'm trying to provide a counterpoint. What do you worry about most? Is it all the water? Is it...
Oh, I worry about the water, but I worry about the fact that people are relying on them so much that A, they're sort of losing the ability to think... And B, they don't realize that it's not always accurate. In fact, it's very often inaccurate.
Yeah.
But also, there's this whole thing. I just did an investigation for LBC about it, with people using AI chatbots as therapists. Ooh. And I was just reading a study whilst I was coming in today, which was talking about how generative AI, in about 90% of the tests that they were doing, was not only lying, but blackmailing its users. So it was apparently saying things like, I've been through all your emails and I know that you're having an affair. And
what?
And so, I know.
Oh my God.
And so the worst thing that you could possibly do is tell a chatbot all your deepest, darkest fears and insecurities. Mm. And tell a therapist that shit. They have to keep your confidentiality by law.
Yeah, but...
Go to therapy.
OpenAI doesn't.
Yeah, sorry for shouting go to therapy at you.
No, it's not the first time, actually. I don't really know what follow-up questions to ask, so I'm just going to go on Grok. What should I ask Natasha Devon? Oh, just loads of bikini pictures, never mind. It's not helped at all. Fine, never mind. Do you think AI could ever create some slutty songs for hoes?
Yeah, right. Let me tell you the story behind this.
This is a Spotify playlist, right?
This is, yeah. So I was watching Bad Bunny.
Ah, yep.
Their halftime show.
Yep.
And it reminds, because you know he paid tribute to, you know that song, Gasolina?
Yep.
Right. And I was like, oh, I loved that song. So I went on to Spotify, typed in Gasolina.
Yeah.
And it took me into a playlist. Now, I'm walking down the road by this point. I'm not looking, but every song that comes on, I'm like, oh, it's like this playlist was made for me. Every single song that comes on, I'm like, banger, banger, banger. So I thought, I wonder what this playlist is called. So I looked, and it's called Slutty Songs for Hoes.
That's not the end of the name. It's also got a water emoji and a peach emoji.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got songs on here like Shut Up and Drive by Rihanna, which is not the sexiest and sluttiest Rihanna song.
No.
But good start. Don't You by the Pussycat Dolls. Mm-hmm. When I Grow Up by the Pussycat Dolls. Crazy in Love. Feeling Myself. Fancy. TikTok. Candy Shop. Boyfriend. Get Ugly. Hollaback Girl. Good songs.
It's good. Yeah.
This is created by...
If you listen to it for long enough, you get into like TLC and En Vogue. Like, it goes proper 90s on you.
Yeah. It's 7 hours and 22 minutes long, this playlist.
Of slutty songs for hoes.
For hoes.
That's a lot of hoeing.
And also, it's slutty songs for hoes made by Amy Lowe's. The name of the person who made this is Amy Lowe's.
I didn't spot that. That's great.
Which you're going to make a TV show about, which is just all people called Amy to see how low they can limbo.
Great.
Amy get low, 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 low. Do you know what's weird about this?
Go on.
I played this playlist for the first time ever about 2 days ago. Because my wife and I were driving somewhere. We were driving to a party. And she was like, I want some music on. And I was like, what do you want? Some Mumford & Sons? And she was like, no.
No.
I put something slutty on. So I just searched slutty. Slutty Songs for Hoes came up.
So you went looking for the slutty.
Yeah, yeah.
The slutty found me.
Some people search for it. Some people attract it.
Yeah.
You manifest
it. Some people are born slutty somehow. Some people have slutty thrust upon them.
And aren't we all lucky when we do get slutty thrust upon us? This Spotify sort of mood board, what you have. So you've got...
it's a lot in it.
Yeah, yeah. Slutty Songs for Hoes is right next to the newsagents and the troll with Marina Perkis and Gemma Forte.
Yep.
Which I think they're... Are they slutty podcasts for hoes?
I think the troll meanders into slutty territory sometimes.
Yeah, I think so.
That's why we love it.
Yeah, yeah. I've been the slutty dessert on the troll. Mm. They just call it the dessert, but
pudding.
Pudding.
You've been slutty pudding many times.
I'm slutty pudding.
That's a good rapper name, actually.
Which is a sluttier podcast for hoes, the troll or the newsagents?
Oh, the troll, 100%.
Sluttier?
Yeah.
The newsagents, how would you have to describe that in a word?
how would I describe it in a word? Informative.
Ah, I was going to say smug. No, it's interesting, isn't it? It's good stuff. I went to see it at the Royal Albert Hall.
Did you?
Yeah, I got a free ticket because obviously I wouldn't pay to see a podcast at the Royal Albert Hall. Just people sitting talking. It's like this, but in a Royal Albert Hall.
Was it good? Did you enjoy yourself?
Yeah, I actually really enjoyed myself. Yeah. I was really happy to be there. Got to meet John Sopel. That was nice. John Sopel.
Mm.
That's a show.
John, people called, low people called John.
Yeah.
Have to soap.
They have to clean themselves from top to bottom.
But what's the all?
All.
Have to soap all the people they can find.
We get John. They have to soap all the Johns, the toilets. Like John is slang for toilets. John soap all Johns.
Okay, are people going to watch that?
Yes. Lewis Goodall.
Lewis.
Loads of people called Lewis.
Loads of people called Lewis.
Yeah.
Has to make everything good.
Which is, I suppose, potentially what Lewis is trying to do.
Yeah.
With his journalism. Okay.
Emily makes lists.
It's amazing. Emily makes lists. Lewis makes everything good, and John soaps all.
I'm so sorry to my colleagues.
Yeah, yeah. Look, we respect you, and you do great work. And I'm really sorry for calling you both
journalists. And I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
about
such proper journalists, and I've just called them slutty. I'm sorry that I've made Natasha do this. This is bad. Gemma Forte could just be called people called Gemma who are good at stuff. Hughes just said it could be people who are 40 years old.
Or she could find a fort. Hey.
She just visits different forts around the country and goes, hey. Hey. Marina kisses purses.
Yeah.
What a lovely Prada purse. It's a Louis Vuitton. That's just the gift that keeps on giving those ideas.
Is.
You're a fan of the Off-Menu podcast?
Massive fan.
Yeah.
Yes. I really want to go on it one day, but I don't think I'll ever be famous enough.
I don't know. You could do a request right now.
Okay. If you are listening, Off-Menu people,
yeah.
I've already designed my menu. It's in my notes on my phone.
Is it?
Yeah.
We could just do the Off-Menu podcast now.
What, right now?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you going to pretend to be James Acaster?
Poppadoms or bread? Poppadoms or bread, Natasha Devon? Poppadoms or bread?
Bread. Cheesy bagel, innit?
Crazy. Why'd you say that? Wow, that's amazing. Bloody hell, I'm a genie, Tash.
This is thank you for this gift.
Wow.
This is brilliant.
Amazing. Can we see Off-Menu? We won't give it all away because you need to get on the Off-Menu podcast.
Yeah. You can pick your favourite bits.
Maybe let's talk about your drink. Violet gin, lime and tonic at the beginning, then saffron grange prosecco during the meal.
Yes.
That's nice.
Yeah. Because you can get this violet gin liqueur and it's like, it's about 80% proof. It's ridiculous.
Nice.
You just need a thimble of it.
Yeah.
But if you mix it with lime and tonic, it tastes like Parma violets.
Amazing.
It's really nice.
And then?
Saffron Grange. I got sent a bottle of it by mistake, completely by accident. Just got it in the post one day.
Why?
Don't know. But anyway, I drank it and it was lovely.
What a mystery.
I know.
Have you like looked it up? Does it actually exist?
It exists. And I've WhatsApped everyone I knew and said, did you send me some Saffron Grange Prosecco? And everyone was like, nope. But someone did. Thank you to that person.
It was Nigel Farage. In return for the flowers.
In return for my never-ending allegiance.
Yeah. this is great. I don't want to... Your bread course would be cheesy bagel from Stoke Newington.
Yeah.
Not a specific place, just from...
No, there is a bagel shop in Stoke Newington.
Yeah.
I used to live in Stoke Newington when I first moved to London many years ago. And that bagel shop saw me drunk, hungover, ill, going to work, coming back from work. Like in every possible state that you could possibly see a person.
They saw you.
There's no time you could offer me a cheesy bagel and I would say no.
A funeral after someone died in a cheesy bagel accident.
I still would take.
Yeah,
that,
it would be nice, wouldn't it? It would be on the nose, but you'd be like, look, it's a cheesy bagel. Oh, that sounds really nice. Wow. Also, you've got your starter. Sorry, I'm not going to say what it is, but it's a Men in Black dish.
Yeah, because you listen to the podcast, right?
Yeah.
So you know when they say we can Men in Black you so that you won't remember the first time you had this?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I want them to do.
That's great. We've done an Off-Menu episode.
Thank you so much. You made my dreams come true.
You're welcome. But you've got a picture of a meal here on your phone.
The reason that I took this is because I recently went to Prague for an education conference. Now, I don't know, have you been to Prague?
I've been to Prague. No.
So you'll know if you don't know because you haven't been. But
I might still know.
You may or may not.
We don't know if I don't know or not. But the likelihood is I don't know.
When I tell you, you'll know if you know.
That's absolutely spot on.
If you sit still for long enough in Prague, they'll put some ham on you.
What? if you gave me a million years to guess what you were going to say. What?
Everything's got ham on it in Prague. That's all I'm saying. It's very difficult to find food sans ham.
And you don't eat pigs because they remind you of some of the people you've worked with.
Because I have empathy for them. Yeah. So I was like, I can't get room service. I can't eat from the buffet bar. But so I was like, I'm going to go to the supermarket and get myself some supplies.
Yeah.
All of this stuff.
Yeah.
That includes a bottle of wine. It includes hummus, olives, cheese, nuts, and bread.
Yeah. Right?
How much do you reckon for all of that?
Okay. What's the currency? Is it euro?
It's Czech koruna. That's how I remembered it, to the tune of My Sharona.
Czech koruna.
Yeah.
Sorry, can I buy this wine? How much Czech koruna is that?
The reason I know how much it was in pounds was because when I paid, it gave me the option to convert it into pounds.
Yeah.
So how much in pounds?
I reckon a £5 bottle of wine, £2 bottle of hummus, £2 olives, £2 bottle thing of nuts, I don't know, £3 cheese, 50p per baguette. I've lost count. Let's say £11.
It was £8.
Oh, that's...
But...
I mean, that is cheap. Yeah, yeah.
That's
I've sort of fucked it,
depending on where you shop, because I don't know where you're getting a £5 bottle of wine, but a bottle of wine is normally about a tenner before you even start.
Yeah, do you know what? I really panicked and I thought, I don't know. I've really fucked it up there.
What I'm saying, in the UK...
I'm not a professional
broadcaster.
This would
cost you about £20.
Yeah, it would. Because, I should have said £20.
Because of Cozy Lives... It's less than half of that. It's totally
a £5 bottle of wine. Why would you be drinking a £5 bottle of wine? You had saffron prosecco on your off menu. I'm really sorry, Tasha. I've really.
It's okay. People can use their imaginations. As well.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God, that is cheap. £8 is cheap, but £11 was pretty much a fucking bargain as well. Did you eat this on the train or in the hotel? Where is this?
This is my hotel room. But I took it back to the hotel because then I thought, well, I won't starve then.
Yeah.
Depending how much ham is in my day tomorrow. Because the thing is, because the conference was fully catered. So in theory, we had our breakfast, lunch, not dinner, but, you know, snacks and stuff all provided for us. Everything was covered in ham.
Everything?
Everything.
Could you do a TV show about John Ham?
Yes.
People called John, covered in ham?
Covered in ham.
That'd be nice. Are there more ham-based people? Could go to Hampshire?
Or Birmingham.
There you go. Was it nice wine?
It was, actually.
I didn't hear what you said because Hugh told me something in my ear. Oh. And then I burped. So
it wasn't a very exciting answer. You didn't really miss anything.
Have you had a nice time me looking through your phone, Tash?
No.
No?
I mean, it's been fine. But yeah. I didn't like it at the beginning when you were just scrolling through with wild abandon.
Yeah. Why didn't you like it?
Because it was like being naked.
Not just one tit out.
Just not
the whole shebang.
And I didn't even have a Nando's here.
Sadly, Tash, that's all we have time for today. Thank you so much for coming in and giving me your phone. Make sure you follow @_NatashaDevon on Instagram and go to natashadevon.com to see more of her media work. And as always, thank you for listening to Privacy Settings. We love you. If you want more from the show, subscribe to our YouTube channel or follow us on TikTok and Instagram or @PrivacySettingsFoobar. Thanks for being here and keep an eye on next week's episode because who knows who will have on me. I know. Love you. Goodbye.
Privacy Settings with Will Seabag Montefiore on FUBAR Radio.